Well, let's continue in our series called Trustees, where we're looking at this concept that we have been placed as trustees over a lot that God has provided. First of all, we looked at last week this theology of receiving. A trustee would look at what do we need to make this organization work? What do we need to take to make the organization work and excel, and then what do we do with the rest? That's kind of this theology of receiving. Learning how to receive is part of the gospel. Learning how to receive is humbling. And so a trustee is somebody who is an overseer and distributor. And so we are overseers and distributors of all that God has provided for us. Everything that we have financially, our bodies, our minds, the earth, we're trustees. And today we're looking at the concept that we're entrusted with prayer. We are entrusted with prayer, this conversation and that we have with God. So give me a second here. I don't know how to work this iPad, Richard. Yeah, I'm on a picture. We can picture each other. Take a picture.
What are you trying to get to?
Just this page that's not supposed to leave my iPad.
This one?
Yeah, it's supposed to just stay right there. We'll see. My printer wasn't working this morning, so this is going to be great. All right, so we're entrusted with prayer, and we're looking at this. Prayer is really communication, talking, listening, with God, and I know some of the men were going through this book that we'll look at. I'll tell you about it at the end of the service, like living, praying like monks, living like fools. And it says in there that prayer helps us understand that all of who we are in God's presence permeates every bit of us. So everything in life is permeated by God's presence, and that is from prayer. And so in Matthew 6, 1 through 8, if you look at the early church, there are three different spiritual disciplines that were pretty prominent. It was fasting, giving, and praying. And he's looking at Matthew 6, 1 through 8, and he says there's three spiritual disciplines, giving, praying, and fasting. And Jesus says, like, when you give, he says, when you pray, and when you fast. Now, I know that we've done a fasting before and during different seasons of the year, but I would say that some people say fasting is an option. But here, just like with prayer and giving, it's like expected. It's like when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. Even though it doesn't say you must fast and you must pray and you must give, it's just this idea that it's expected. That Jesus says, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. And then Luke 11:1 says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And that's what we pray each week, the Lord's Prayer. He taught them to pray. He says, all right, so he says in Matthew, when you pray, when you give, when you fast, and then he says, in Luke, he taught the disciples how to pray. So there's this, expectancy. In Luke 18:1, says, then Jesus told his disciples by a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And this was the parable of the persistent widow. And she was persistent with this unjust judge. And he finally gave in to her. And he was talking about the concept of a just God. If you're persistent with an unjust judge, but you're be persistent with a just God. And so he's saying, like this persistent widow, like, man, why is it doing this? Hey, what's the passcode?
2013-2013.
I'm just going to have to keep touching it, I guess. This is great. All right. All right. I am on an island here without any clothes on.
You want some help?
No, I'm good. I'm just,
what?
All right. Help me, Jamie. Help me. Help me, Jamie.
Yeah, right.
John, your dad's awesome.
You talk.
Yes, I am.
Well, I have nothing to say right now. How's everybody doing? Thank you, guys. I forgot where I was. Oh, yeah. Don't give up. Be persistent.
Yeah.
Don't give up. It's getting hot in here. Man. Oh, thank you. All right. So this persistent widow continues to plead her case. What's that? Thank you. I'm funny. Thank you. I don't feel funny. I feel humble. So prayer is being taught by Jesus to his disciples. Prayer is expected when he says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And he's saying, just like this, teaching them to pray like this persistent widow. So this concept of communicating, talking, and listening to God, and this idea that it is expected of us to pray. And even in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. You know, I know a lot of you are like, you know, some of you who are seniors in here are thinking about what's next. Do I go to college? Do I not go to college? Will I get in here? Will I get in? What's God's will for me? And a lot of times in life, we think of God's will as what's the next step. But here in Thessalonians, it tells us what's God's will. What's God's plan for us? Oh, it's to rejoice always. It's to pray continually. It's to give thanks in everything. In all circumstances, we give thanks. This is God's will. So there's an expectation. What is God's plan? What's God's will? To pray continually. So, as I've said before, this is expected. So we see here in these passages that prayer is expected of us. So if we're entrusted with prayer, first of all, we know what it is. It's communicating with God, talking and listening, and then it is expected of us. That we are expected to be prayers. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. So, first of all, Jesus says, you know, when in Matthew, then in Scripture, in the Old Testament, it says, if my people. When you pray, and then here, if you will pray. It's expected of us, but here we see that this is an invitation to pray. If my people pray, an invitation to pray. You're invited into prayer. This is what is expected of us. This is what we're invited into, being people who pray. We see here in this passage that prayer can bring justice. Prayer can bring forgiveness. And prayer can bring healing. If my people called by my name will humble themselves, if they will pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll heal, I'll hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. So there's an invitation more here than just prayer. But they're invited to pray. We're invited to pray. Just like Jesus says in the prayer he taught his disciples, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're inviting, an invitation to pray and praying for God's kingdom to come. The justice, healing, and forgiveness. All part of his kingdom work. So, we're expected to pray, we're invited to pray. So then why don't we pray? If we're trustees of what God's given us, and he's given us this relationship with him. And in this relationship, it would be like if Jennifer and I never talked. Now, I can't remember the stats, but the amount of time that a married couple talks in rich communication a week is very minimal. But if you and your spouse or a significant other in your life, if you do not communicate, if you do not talk or you do not listen, you will not grow deeper together. And we're invited into this prayer and this conversation with God to listen, to share, and we're expected to do this. We're invited to do this. So why don't we do this? Well, there's probably many different reasons. There's just a few I'd like to go over. So why don't we pray? First of all, maybe unanswered prayers from your past. Maybe you're like, you know what? I've prayed and, God didn't answer. You know, so what's this about? Why even do this? What does it matter? So maybe these unanswered prayers hinder us from communicating. We pray to connect and know God, not necessarily to manipulate and to use God for our desires and purposes. So, what is the motive for prayer? What is our motive? Is it to get what we desire from God as this cosmic vending machine? God, we're praying, you give me this. This is what I want. This didn't happen. I'm not coming back. You know, maybe our motives aren't right when we're praying. Or maybe these unanswered prayers, maybe our motives were right. They just weren't answered. But when we communicate with God, it's to know God and to grow in him, not necessarily to get what we want or to use God for our purposes. I mean, we pray like, you know, that so-and-so will do this. Or I'm praying that they'll, you know, do this. I mean, there's some requests that we can ask. But our prayers, it's not about what we desire in our agenda. It's about God's purposes. Now, when we are delight in God, the psalmist says, he gives us the desires of our heart. When we're in tune with God, our prayers are in tune with his desires. But unanswered prayers from the past might hinder us. Excuse me. Also, we don't know what to say sometimes. Sometimes we're not sure what we need to share, or sometimes it's confusing to know what do we pray about? What do we tell God? What do we talk to God about? Jesus taught his disciples, as we shared already, about the Lord's Prayer. So why don't we walk through that quickly, just as a template, if you get stuck knowing what to say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Talk to God about your relationship with him. Thank you that I'm your child. Our Father, our God who is personable. Thank you that you are personable. Thank you that I have a relationship with you. Talk about that relationship. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Talk to God about his agenda on this earth. Pray for this world. Pray for city, nations, leaders, faith communities. Pray for what's happening in the Middle East. I mean, pray for God's kingdom to come. God's will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Ask God for your needs. What is it that we need today? God, give us this day our daily bread. I need you to show up. I'm anxious. I need your peace. God, I'm struggling. I need financial help. God, I have this need. So we share that. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Talk to God about your relationships with others. Pray that I'm struggling here. I need help in this relationship. This is just a simple template that Jesus taught his disciples to use that we could use. Pray for those who've hurt you and wronged you. Pray for part of your heart that you're like bitter towards someone. Pray that you ask God to help you forgive someone who's hurt you. And lead us not into temptation, but so talk about your weaknesses. Talk about your struggles. Talk about where you need God's help. Talk about, God, I'm sorry. I need help in this area. I'm weak. I need strength here. And lead us, and then deliver us from evil. Talk to God about your areas of struggle. Areas of sinfulness or pride or areas of jealousy or envy or areas that, you know, greed or whatever it may be that you're struggling with, that you're like, I got to let go. I need your help. I'm struggling in this area. God, help me. And it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Proclaim his goodness. Give him praise. Tell God how awesome God is. Thank God for how good he is. Thank God for God's provisions. Thank God that God can help you with your weaknesses and with your struggles and with your provisions and with your relationships. So relationships, provisions, struggles, weaknesses, and your relationship with him. Easy template to talk to God about. So sometimes we don't pray because, well, we just, you know, don't see a point in it. Unanswered prayers are of the past. Like, this doesn't, it's not going anywhere. Might be that, you know, we don't know sometimes what to say. We're good. And then we also might not believe that prayer even really changes anything. Sometimes we might think, well, God is going to do what God wants to do, so what does it matter? Depends on your different views of God and sovereignty and our place and how it works. If you just believe everything's a closed system and nothing's going to change, then you might think, well, why would I even pray? But there's this quote I want to read to you. I'm just going to read from up here. Miles Monroe says this, prayer gives earthly license for heaven's interference. And Jonah 3:10 says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. Exodus 32:14. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster that he had threatened. Because of the intervention of Jonah and Moses, God relented and God did not announce the previously announced course of his action is not going to be put into effect. Now, you can talk about did God change his mind, or you can look at here, this slide here, that the previously announced course of action is not going to be put into effect. This is what God was going to do. This is what God decided to do. Ultimately, though, nothing will thwart God's plan. I mean, if God is going to redeem all his people, nothing will stop this. But in the midst of this grand narrative, there may be subplots that are changing and are different because of our intervention or our prayers. So prayers can have an effect on what's happening around us. Prayers can change things in our life and the lives of other people. Prayer is powerful. Prayer brings about God's kingdom. Prayer, in these two cases, in Jonah, Exodus, there's several others in the Old Testament, God changed his course of action. And in Luke 6:12, choosing the disciples, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. So he goes off to pray, and in praying, he's talking, listening, and he then selects the disciples. This is a response of prayer. Is, you know, prayer is action, but also prayer leads us to action. I mean, I don't want you to hear that prayer isn't being involved. It's not. It's an active process, but it also leads us into action. And then how do we know how to act and what to do and where to work and where to go? Remember, every day we are God's. You know, we invite ourselves to say, God, this is your day. I'm here for you. Well, how do we know how to act and how to respond to God's guiding and what I would call the God's spiritual impulses, the Spirit nudging us and guiding us to share a blessing to someone, a kind word, or to pray for someone that is on our heart? Or how do we know what to do when so prayer leads us into this action? So we're expected to pray, we're invited to pray, we're entrusted to pray. So why don't we? And why don't you? And maybe prayer is vital to you, and maybe prayer is saturated in your life. Or maybe it's part of, you know, I don't know what to say. Or maybe it is, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with space too in our life. We're busy. Or any kind of margin we have, our phone and scrolling becomes in that margin. Every time I see people stop in front of me, it goes straight to the phone. I don't know how many times I've had a little honk this week. Just, hey, green light. You know, it's easy to then, all the space that we have in our life is filled. And it's filled, and we're just filled up. And so we don't even think about prayer. So we're entrusted with this prayer, this communication with God, listening and talking. We have a relationship with God we're invited into. And in this relationship, it's vital, it's crucial that we communicate. So maybe it's you don't like how God's answered prayers, or you have unanswered prayers, or maybe it is too busy, or maybe it is just don't know what to say, or maybe you think it really doesn't matter. But it matters. Especially if you look at it as a relationship. God longs to know us. God wants us to communicate with Him. It's like you and if you have a child, it's like your desire for your child to come and just sit with you or be with you. God longs for us to communicate, to chat, to talk, to listen. And we're entrusted with this. So how are we doing as a faith family with prayer? It's important and vital for us to listen to what God wants us to do. Collectively, individually, it's important for us just to also grow in depth of intimacy with God. So, I mean, it's hard to talk about this without giving you space to do it. So, let's do it. And what I would like for us to do is, you know, in silence, just take some time and pray. Maybe you could use the template of the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you could just talk about maybe struggles or needs. Or maybe just say, God, I want to meet with you for a moment. Maybe you want to talk about prayer in the Middle East and pray for peace and pray for God's kingdom to come. Pray for justice and pray for healing. I know that it's very complicated over there. There's several different militia groups that are zealot in the Islamic faith that want all Jews just killed. They want, and there's also a minority that want separate land and their own land. There's a lot that live within Gaza that don't agree with the current political leadership. But there's a minority of Christians in Palestine. We pray for them. We pray for the people of Israel. We pray for the Christians in West Bank, and we pray for the suffering. I mean, I don't want to go far into this, but that's a heavy, heavy load over there, heavy burden. Displaced people, a lot of people who aren't involved, who just are displaced, and there's going to just death, the innocent. There's a lot to lay on God's feet in prayer. So feel free to do that. Maybe just thank God for what He's doing in you currently. But we're expected, we're invited, and we're entrusted with prayer. And so let's just take a moment and do that and just pray.